The idea of Prusbel, which we're going to have to go back and see where it comes from, what it is, has caused in, I'll say, more modern times, and maybe not only modern times, an attitude that people have, which is probably expressed best by Blue Greenberg when she said, when there is a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, which essentially means that Torah is quite malleable. We're able to change it. We're able to do whatever we want. And the reality that I would think for most poskim, that is not necessarily the case. It is true that poskim have a great deal of ability of coming and responding to situations, but I think it's maybe that's really part of this discussion, is that not every posek can do absolutely any or everything when it comes to halacha. So let's now start painting things with very broad strokes, and then we'll be able to get a little bit more specific. And I specifically described that what I was going to do is the background, because I think it's the background, which is certainly the nuances in the background, which were not necessarily always understood or always appreciated. So let's start. We'll start looking at the sugya. So the Torah tells us, Miketz Shevashanim Taseh Shmita. So now, Shemitah has been mentioned a number of times in the Torah, in Sefer Shmos, in Sefer Vayikra. Here it is in Dvarim. Miketz Shevashanim Taseh Shmita. V'zeh Dvar HaShmita, Shmot Kol Baal Ma, She Yadoa She Yasheh B'Re'ehu, Lo Yigos Es Re'ehu Ve'es Achiv Ki Kara Shmita LaShem. So over here, there is a specific term which is used, and that's an important term, lo yigos. And it explains it. It's as S, or maybe we'll do this in Sfaradit, et hanachrit yigos, v'asher yelecha et achicha teshmeit yodecha. So over here, as opposed to earlier treatments of Shemitah, over here it's speaking about the financial, what we call Shemitat Ksafim. When the Shemitah comes, then, and you lend money, then you can't ask for the money back. Hishamer lecha, in Pasuk Tet, pen yedvar im levavcha, bli'al, lemor kvar shnata sheva, shnata shmita, v'ra'a einecha b'achicha avyon, v'lo titen lo, v'kara alecha, El Hashem vayabachachet. What's going to happen when the seventh year comes and you're not going to want to give a loan? The reason you're not going to want to give a loan is because the loan's going to be canceled, and by doing this, you will have sinned. Naton titein lo. No, you should give him money. V'lo yirah levavcha bititcha lo. And you shouldn't see it in a negative sense to give him money. Ki biglal ha-davar hazeh yivarech Hashem alakecha b'chol ma'asecha v'chol mashlach yedecha. This is what brings blessing to us. Ki lo yichdal v'yon mikervach ha'aretz al kein anochi mitzavcha le'mor patoch tiftach et yadcha l'achicha la'aniecha u'levincha be'artzecha. That there's a special law in order to open up your hands and lend money. It sounds specifically to those who are poor, to those who are in need. So over here, the Torah tells us that we should be lending money. That's on the one hand. And then on the other hand, the Torah is telling us that we should not hold back from lending the money. And if we lend the money, we should know that this is something that we can't necessarily just go and ask for the money back. So as I said, I'm doing this in very broad terms, and there is a lot what to say. Now, part of the background over here is that Shemitah is undoubtedly a Torah law. The question is, are there any kind of parameters for this Torah law? What I mean by that is, does the Torah law exist in all times and all places? By the way, just as an aside, the law of Shemitah Ta'aretz, or not working the land in the seventh year, that is something which is exclusive to the land of Israel. On the other hand, Shemitah Ksafim, not the cancellation of the loans, that applies in all places and all times. Not, well, all times, I have to be careful. That applies in all places, which means that as opposed to Shemitat Haaretz, Shemitat Ksafim also takes place in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so as we get to the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, So we know the Jews enter the land. We also know that it seems to be that they failed terribly in keeping the laws of Shemitah properly, which at least would give motivation for people today to try to fix that and to do it properly, or at various times in history to do it properly. But we did not do it in the way that we were supposed to do it. But then some Jews come back. Most Jews do not come back, but some Jews come back for the second Beit HaMikdash. And what we're going to see is that the situation was not necessarily completely clear. So we're going to take a look a little bit in the 10th chapter of Masechet Shviit. This is where it speaks, the 10th chapter speaks about the laws of Shmitat Ksafim. And we'll start as follows. Shviit mishametet atamil v'bishtar v'shelo bishtar. That Shviit will cancel, from the word mishamet, over here it would be similar to the word Shemitah, would cancel the loans, whether it was done with a contract or without. Hakafat hachanut eino mishametet. So that would be, you go to the makolet, and you tell the guy in the makolet, can you write this down, and I'll pay you at the end of the month. I'll pay you when I get paid. That is not canceled by Shemitah. Now that itself should be something which is interesting, because what it's saying is that's not a formal loan. It's delayed payment, and delayed payment and a formal loan are not the same thing. This already should now tell us that not every situation where you owe somebody money is canceled by Shemitah. And now you also will realize that there are going to be very specific limitations. The imasa milva, but if you turned that, not paying the store owner, into a proper loan, harezim mishamet. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rishon, Rishon mishamet, Sachar, Sachir, Eino mishamet, I skipped a little bit, va'aso milva, harezim mishamet. Same thing. If I had somebody who works for me and I didn't pay them on time, that doesn't turn into a loan. That's a financial obligation. But if I say to the person, I want to borrow money for you, and then I'll pay you this money, if I turn it into a proper loan, then you pay. So what we're learning now is, not every time you owe money, only when there's a proper loan. What exactly makes it into a proper loan, we are deliberately skipping over a bit. Mishnah Bet, second line, Ha'ones v'mifateh v'motzi shemra v'kol ma'aseh beitin in mishamtin. There were certain financial obligations. Now, this isn't a loan. This is talking about people who were bad players. They did things they should not have done. The court found them guilty and they needed to pay a fine. That these people need to pay a fine, that does not get canceled because of Shemitah. Rather, those fines will need to be paid. Whether the seventh year comes, doesn't come, that they have to pay. Hamalve al hamashkon v'hamosa shtart lebeitin eino mishamtin. So over here, if you lend money, but there is collateral, or if a person gives the contracts over to the Beit Din, they don't get canceled. Now that itself is quite interesting because, again, now we're learning, even if it was a proper loan, there are ways of getting away from it. Which brings us to Mishnah Gimel. Pruzbul, which as of this moment we don't know what it really means, eino mishamet. Ze achad min adim sheitkin hila zakein. This is one of the things that Hillel the Elder instituted. Kisharash nimnu ha'am milahalvot ze'edze, for over him amashakatuv b'Torah, that Hillel saw that people were not giving loans, and therefore they were breaking. Now, this is very important. It says they were breaking a Torah law, because it says, and those are the verses we started with, Yishamer lacha pen yedavar im levavcha b'li'al. Hitkin Hillel Lepruzbol. And Hillel saw that people were not giving loans. Now, why weren't they giving loans? They're afraid the loans would be canceled. And he saw they were breaking the Torah law, so therefore he instituted Pruzbol. V'zeo gufo shel Pruzbol. This is what the Pruzbol is. Mosar ani lachem ish ploni uploni hadayanim shemakom ploni. I am hereby so-and-so giving over the loans to these judges. Shekol chov sheyeshli. Any obligations that I have, that people owe me, she'egvenu kozman she'irtza, that I will claim them anytime I want. V'dayanim chotmim lamata o aedim, and either the dayanim or witnesses will sign underneath. Over here, there is some more details about Pruzbol. We're going to skip to the very end, towards the end, Mishnah Tet. Hamachzechov b'shviit, but if nonetheless a person pays back their loan, ruach hachamim nochamimenu. The rabbis, the spirit of the rabbis, finds pleasure in this kind of behavior. That's already a different law. Which means that what we have over here is a Mishnah telling us that laws get canceled. Sorry, that loans get canceled. Then it's giving us certain qualifications of what is a loan. But it also told us a number of things. One is that that any act of a court is not canceled, but also if I bring my contracts to the court, and then we're told about Prusbel. But then after all of this, even though loans are canceled because of Shemitah, nonetheless, the person whose loan was canceled, the rabbis are telling that it's not that you're not allowed to pay back the loan because Shemitah canceled it. If you nonetheless pay back the loan, then that's considered to be the proper thing. And let me just play that out a little bit more. I borrow money from someone and they don't have a Prusbel, they don't need anything else, and Shemitah comes around and the loan then is canceled. The person, I then go over and say, you know what, I'd like to pay it back. The person then would have an obligation to say, excuse me, it's Shemitah, I have canceled, all my loans are canceled. I then say, nonetheless, I would like to pay you back. At that point, that person is allowed to accept the money. If you want to contemplate the more fancy way of thinking about this, is exactly how does Shemitat Kesafim work? Is it what we would call a din on the gavra? Is it a din on the cheftza? Is it an obligation the person must cancel the loans, or the loan itself is automatically canceled? There is what to talk about this. But as I said, right now, what we find is that Hillel says that Shemitah can't, even though I have to cancel loans, I have a workaround. And the workaround is I give the loans to court. Now, one of the things that needs to be figured out, and I'm not going to go into depth on this, is the Prusbel. How different is it from the previous Mishnah? The previous Mishnah said that anytime the contracts are given over to the court, they're canceled. So is Prusbel simply the same thing? Most would understand it as being somewhat different, as being an extension of the same idea. The extension would be that the difference with Prusbel is I don't have to bring it to court. I can just make this declaration, have two witnesses or judges, as we saw, sign it, and then I can keep it in my drawer in my house. I don't have to go and bring it to somebody else. And by the way, that is the way that Shemitah is dealt with today, is that you would get this contract, you would have witnesses sign this, your name would be filled in, and at that point you just put it away, and then instead of your loans being canceled, you're able then to go over and to ask for your money back. So now, as of this point, we should realize that there are at least a number of ways. If giving the contracts to the court is different, well, that was one way of dealing with it. If even after I would lend money, somebody would have the option of returning the money, well, that's another way of dealing with it, which is albeit somewhat more dangerous. But at least now we realize that getting money back or getting a loan back, it's not that you're not allowed to get it back, you shouldn't be asking for it back. But as we saw, if the contracts are given to the court, or if the individual has this Prusbel, then it's allowed. Now, one of the things that the Gemara is going to find difficult is saying, hold it a second. If the Torah says that loans are canceled, how can Hillel have a workaround? Meaning, how can that possibly work? Or let me just phrase this a little differently in the language of the Gemara. The Gemara's point is obvious, that Shemitah, if it's Torah law, then you can't, how could Hillel bypass it? And that's very important, because what I said in the very beginning today is that there are people who think that the way that Prusbel will work is that you're able to, or rabbis can, just like Hillel did, is able to work around Torah law. There's a Torah law you don't like, there are workarounds for it. And just, again, quickly, some examples. An Erev can be an example. Selling chametz for Pesach could be an example. Which means there are various things that Jews do which seem to somehow frustrate a Torah law from being applied. I will point out that according to the vast majority of understandings regarding an Erev would not necessarily work in a place which is a what we call a Rishut HaRabim D'oraita. is quite the opposite. Is what one will try to do is to find a place which would be considered a Rishut HaRabim Durabanan, and then you could, once it's Durabanan, you're not going against Torah law. What you're doing is limiting rabbinic law, as if rabbinic law was not meant to be applied in all situations. Which, what I'm really getting at then, is the most critical question to ask as we try to understand what Prusbul is and how it works, is does Prusbul come to change the law when Shemitah is a Torah law, or does Prusbul come in to work when Shemitah is a rabbinic law? Which means that will end up becoming the key question which would need to be asked. So if you look at the Rambam in his commentary to the Mishnah, right here on this Mishnah, we learn Prusbul, Shemur Kav Mishmot Arbe, V'ininom B'lashonam Tikuna Devar V'Amatsua Bo, People already questioned and asked regarding this. The Gemara asks, could it really be something that on a Torah level that it's the loan is cancelled? And Hillel said it's not cancelled. And the way the Gemara explains it, the Rambam says, Shetakanat Hillel Einu Ela Bishviyut Bizman Hazeh Shehi Midrabanan. That Hillel was not circumventing a Torah law, Hillel was modifying a rabbinic law. Ki Hashem amar v'zed dvar shmita shomet v'amru b'shtei shmitot ha-katov midaber. That shmita, there's actually two interlinked shmitot. Echad shmitat karka v'echad shmitat ksafim. Bizman sheta mashmit karka, ta mashmit ksafim. That only when the resting of the land is on a Torah level, then the financial one is as well. Bizman she'ena ta mashmit karka, ena ta mashmit ksafim. But when there is no obligation to rest the land on a Torah level, then there is neither one to cancel loans. V'hitkin rabbanan ditishmit zecher l'shviyit. And the rabbis made this law of Shemitah Zecher as a memorial for Shemitah. V'nimtza shashvit bizman hazeh deleika yovel noeg drabanan. So here the Rambam just gave us the key issue, and that is yovel, that with the lack of yovel, then Shemitah can't be on a Torah level. I'll explain that in a second. Hine nitpa'er lacha shashmatat ksafim chova aleinu bizaneinu zeh, that there is this idea on a rabbinic level to have Shemitah cancel loans. V'dash is anog b'kol makom b'kozman, and that applies in all places and all locations and all times, but on a rabbinic level. Klomar hashmatat malva b'shviyat el shehi midrabanan. It's in all places, but it's on a rabbinic level, and we'll stop here for a moment and try to explain this. Essentially, what the Rambam is telling us is that there is what we can call a larger halachic infrastructure, which is interconnected and interrelated. The infrastructure has three moving parts. One is Yovel, the other is Shemitah, and the other is Shemitat Ksafim. What we now understand that the Rambam is telling us that all three of these are interconnected. Shemitat Yovel, we'll start there. Yovel is when seven Shemitot take place, at the end of the seven Shemitot, the end of 49 years, the 50th year is Yovel, and in that 50th year, then land returns back to its original owner. One of the things that we will not look at today is the Gemara tells us that, this is clear in the Yerushalmi, it's mentioned in the Bavli as well, Rashi understands this is the conclusion of the Gemara, that in order for all of these laws to work, then all of the moving parts have to work. Which means, in order for Yovel to work, and I know there's all kinds of rumors about this particular point, at which point will Shemitah be a Torah law? Well, what it says about Yovel is that each one of the tribes need to be in their land, and a majority of each tribe needs to be there. So I'll just start off by saying that Reuven is not in their land. Most of Reuven is not there, right? Most, right? I hope you understand that's on the other side of the Jordan River, and most of the tribe of Reuven, aside from the problem, but the 10 tribes that we don't know who's from which tribe, essentially we're in an almost impossible situation. I'll take away the almost if you want. We are an impossible situation if you need Yovel to be in place, for Shemitah to be in place, and the Rambam just now said that, then Shemitah cannot possibly work at all today, and essentially, again, there's really nothing to talk about. So therefore, in the absence of Yovel, there's an absence of Shemitah, there's an absence of Shemitah, then there's an absence of Shemitah at Ksafim, which means going back to the point of what Hillel did and maybe what he didn't do. Hillel lives by a time of the second Beit HaMikdash, most Jews are not there. The 12 tribes are certainly not in their proper place, which means the last time that Shemitah was on a Torah law was when all 12 tribes were in their right place. That already stopped before the Churban of Beit Rishon, when the 10 tribes went into exile. So during this time, Shemitah is now, I'm going to use the word maximum, but you can ignore that word. Shemitah now is a maximum, is on a rabbinic level, which means if I lend you money, and now you say, well, I'm not giving it back because it's Shemitah, on a Torah level, whose money is that? On a Torah level, it's my money. I lent you money. On a rabbinic level, the rabbi said, no, you should keep Shemitah Ksafim. You have to pay it back. So on a Torah level, it's my level, it's my money. On a rabbinic level, it's your money. So Hillel says, well, now there's one more wrinkle to all of this. The wrinkle is that people said, you know what, I'm not going to lend money at all. Now, why won't they lend money? Because the other guy's going to keep my money, but it's really my money on a Torah level. Now, the interesting thing about this Mishnah, and this is something that we could have spent more time on, and in my mind, it's very clear in the Rambam at least, that the law of not lending money, if you refuse to lend money to somebody who's poor and in need, you are breaking a Torah law, whether Shemitah is on a Torah level or on a rabbinic level. And that's the way to read that Mishnah, which means what the Mishnah said is, Hillel saw people are breaking the Torah law. What's the Torah law they're breaking? They're not lending money. Why aren't they lending money? Because on a rabbinic level, they're obligated to lend the money. When I say rabbinic level, I don't want to be confused. They're obligated, let me rephrase that. On a rabbinic level, they are obligated not to ask for the money back. But on a Torah level, they're obligated to lend the money because there's somebody in need. Why there's somebody in need? Well, one good reason they're in need is they're not working all year. Why aren't they working? Because on a rabbinic level, they're resting. And I hope they're resting in agriculturally. And I hope all of this is not too confusing. But essentially what Hillel was doing, as opposed to the way that some people will be very tempted to read it. Again, what's the temptation? Rabbis can just break Torah law when they want to. Quite the opposite. Hillel never broke a Torah law. The opposite is true. Hillel strengthened the Jews of keeping a Torah law of lending money. But when they lend the money, just like anybody who can lend money, have a right to ask for the money back. On a rabbinic level, there was the idea, don't ask for that. Let's make believe it's Shemitah, even though it's not Shemitah on a Torah level. So therefore, that's a rabbinic law, not to ask for the money back. So Hillel said, you know what? The rabbis are saying to keep Shemitah. The rabbis are also going to give you a workaround and a way you can ask for the money back. Now, maybe it sounds like I worked a little bit too hard just now, but that's really what the Rambam just now said. Shemitah is rabbinic. The obligation to lend money is a Torah level. On the other hand, not asking for the money back is on a rabbinic level, and therefore people hesitated because they would not get their money back. So Hillel said, you know what, let's create a situation that you're allowed to ask for your money back. And therefore, in the way I just now explained it, Hillel never went against the Torah law. And again, the Rambam quoted, how can Hillel go against the Torah? He says, no, Shemitah is Rabbanan. So he didn't get, not only did he not go against the Torah law, he was strengthening the Torah law of lending people in need, lending them money. So therefore, what you really have is this social justice is still taking place. Now, there may well be a distinction between the time that Hillel lived and today. Or if not today, at least, maybe I'll add a different phrase in. There may be a difference between the time that Hillel lived and 200, 300, 400, 500 years later, 1,000 years later. And what would be the difference? When Hillel lived, the Beit HaMikdash stood. Now, what that may have to do with this whole equation, we'll leave out for the moment. But we do find something, and that is essentially there are three different approaches during the time of the Rishonim regarding the status of the laws of Shmitat Ksafim. One is a claim that it's on a Torah level, and I'll put it out like this. Almost no one is of that opinion. And even those who are claimed they're of that opinion, one has to look a little bit more carefully and see if that's in fact the case. There are those who will claim it's rabbinic, as we just now saw in the Rambam. There are, however, a bunch of rabbis and many, many more people who believed that Shmitat Ksafim, the cancellation of loans, is not even on a rabbinic level. It's only some type of a custom. If we take a look at the most famous one who quotes this, it's the Sefer HaTrumot. HaRav Zecharia b'tshuvato pasak she'eino noheg achshav. So Zecharia HaLevi, the Baal Ma'or, says there is no Shemitah Ksafim today. Adkan, without the whole citation. Adkan Tverav. Gam Arayvid. Katav ki b'bnei sh'rashe via rav b'lchotav inyim pruzbo v'sugi kula. Right, others bring the law. Nestapek im hu savur sh'no heged ha'shmedak sviv b'zman hazeh. U'shema l'mi sh'noeg midat chasidut hu sh'eshmit. The Ravid thinks that maybe people that keep this law today, it's only because they are being incredibly righteous. Midat chasidut, but there's no law. And that's the opinion of the Ravid. By the way, it's not just the Ravid and the Baal Ma'or. It happens to be a good number of the Chachamim who lived in Provence. It was certainly the approach, at least in Provence, and probably in other places as well. I'm just scrolling down if I brought anything else over here. Also, somebody else is of that same opinion, is the Meiri, who's also from Provence. We know that a whole bunch of rabbis from Provence were of that opinion that Shemitah Ksafim does not apply today. If we'll skip down a little bit more, the Vabor Mefurishu De'in Yovel Nohig Ela Bizman Shekol Yoshve Aleha V'Afilu Hoyu Aleha Aval Yu Me'orevin Shevet Yehuda B'Binyamin, that if the tribes were mixed up, V'Shevet B'Binyamin B'Yehuda Ein HaYovel Nohig. So therefore, those of you who've heard that, oh, very soon most Jews will be in Israel and Shemitah will be Deoraita, that is not the opinion that's mentioned in the Yerushalmi. It's not the opinion which is the easy read of the Bavli, the way that Rashi understood the Bavli. Umizeh nilmad shalo nahaga yovel b'bayit sheni. There was no yovel b'bayit sheni because the tribes weren't there. V'achinam yamrina b'erchin monu yovelot l'kachin Shemitah, and aval yovelot mishagolu shevet ruvein v'gad batlu l'gamre. And therefore the Bavli says as well that as soon as those tribes went into exile, Yovel was over, and therefore by extension Shemitah is over, and therefore by extension Shemitah Ksafim is over. He goes, certainly, even if you'll argue about what happened during Bayit Sheni, but certainly once there's a Churban Bayit Sheni, there is no longer Yovel, and therefore by extension no longer Shemitah, and therefore by extension no longer Shemitat Ksafim. Okay. The Tur quotes his father's shock when he arrives in Spain. V'katev Adoni Avi HaRashzal b'tshuva sheshalu sheshalat shenogin be'eretz hazot l'gvot shtarot שעברה עליהם שביעית, הוי יודע שתמהתי על זה מיום בוי לארץ הזאת, וצבחתי כחורכיה ולית משכיח בי. He was screaming that people were collecting their loans, and he goes, how can you do this? After שביעית, he goes, how can you do this? For אמרו, and they said to me, כי כבר נהגו כן בארץ הזאת, ואי אפשר לשנות המנהג. Now the importance of this is that now we realize that not only was it the custom in Provence, now you realize it also in Spain. They were not aware of this. By the way, there are those who have pointed out, there was a Professor Gilat. He has a book here called Prakim Behishtalshtalut Halacha. He has a chapter on Shemitat Ksafim. I actually studied with him in graduate school, and I learned this course about Shemitat Ksafim with him. And one of the things he points out in the book is that if you look at the time of the Gaonim, you don't find one single discussion about making a pruzbol, about how you write one during the time of the Gaonim. They were not writing pruzbols, was his conclusion. There are various things that they do write about, and there are various things they don't. I mean, one of the things which very famously that they didn't learn was Masechet Nedarim. That comes out as you get closer to Kol Nidre, that they didn't study Nedarim. It wasn't one of the things they considered to be Halacha L'mais and Nedarim. It wasn't something which they studied, but he brings some evidence as well that Shemitat Ksafim was also something which was not practice. Now again, this should not be the biggest surprise, because if you're of the opinion that there's no, that Shemitah doesn't apply, or like we saw the Ravid say that it's just a nice Midat Chasidut, so then if it's a Midat Chasidut, you don't have to bother writing a Prizbol. The Rush actually, if you know, aside from the way that he's quoted over here by his son, by the Tur, right? The Tur is the son of the Rush, that if you actually look in the Tshuva of the, just one second, of the Rush, here in source number 18. This is another tshuva. Shimkazavim lo nagi ba'aretz hazot v'lo yadati lama. They don't do it today. They don't follow Shemitah. He goes, I don't know why. So he, again, that's also important historical evidence. The Rush was brought up. He comes from Germany, moves to Spain, and he says he's shocked. He thinks that people should be doing this. I don't know any language that can cancel Shemitah. By the way, I do. So I don't know. So I'm sorry for saying that. I'm not sure I understand the Rush, because I do know a language that can cancel. So hold on, because I'm getting ahead of myself. Upruzbul in yodin be'eretz hazot mahu, kevin shelo nogu b'shmitat k'safim. So he, in the tshuva of the Rush, he writes, where I am today, nobody knows what a pruzbul is. Nobody has seen a pruzbul. Now, this is actually really interesting that there is such a lack of knowledge of the pruzbul. I'm going to add a couple of things, and then I'm going to try to come back and explain this, because I think there's a really good reason for it. And not just laziness, and not just because of it fell into disuse for what I think that there is an ideological reason behind this, which is quite important. But let me just learn a little bit more and to see where some of this ends up. If we move from the Torah and we go to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch, anybody who heard me give an introduction to the laws of Shemitah in the beginning of the year, so now I'm back in the exact same place. And my point then was, yes, the laws of Shemitah, whether Shemitah is a Torah law or a rabbinic law or so on, is indeed mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not one of these things which is only in obscure books. Could be. The Choshen Mishpat is obscure for some people. That's not my fault. Source 6 is Choshen Mishpat Hilchot Halva, Siman Samech Zayin. The Mechaber starts off and says, Ein Shemitah K'safin Noheget Min HaTorah Ela B'Zman Shayovel Noheg. So now, what I kept on saying before, yeah, the Gemara says this, the Rambam says this, and the Shulchan Aruch rules this way. There's no Shemitah B'Zman Hazeh on a Torah level. Umidivri Sofim She Shemitah K'safim Noheget B'Zman Hazeh B'Kol Makom, essentially following the Rambam. Okay, Hagah, Rambam, right, Hilchot Shemitah, and he tells you where else to look to find others who of the same. Kein hu haskamat haposkim. Aval yesh omrim, de'ein shmita noheget bizman hazeh. Now, the red that you see is the Hagah and the Ramah. There are those who say that Shemitah Ksafim doesn't apply at all today. V'nira sh'aleim samchu medinot elu. And that is the custom in these lands. Which is interesting, because the Ramah, he's writing from Poland, and he's saying, no, yeah, that's what we do today. She'ein nogendim shmita klal bizman hazeh. There's no shmita at all bizman hazeh. Now, the reason, obviously, I read this in the very beginning of the year was that the shmita ksafim and shmita karka are linked. And here you have the Ramah saying, yeah, there's no shmita bizman hazeh at all. And he quotes that Rush. It's very funny. He said the minhag was there by the Rush. It was there by the Rush because the Rush is complaining that nobody's keeping the minhag. So you realize that this is a little unfortunate turn of language or turn of phrase by the Ramah, is that, yeah, it was still there by the Rush and where the Rush lived, but also, I can say the flip side of it, that the minhag not to keep it was also there by the time of the Rush. And that's why, he was yelling at people that they should stop this terrible custom of not keeping Shemitah Ksafim, and they ignored him. Ha'achronim zal, and he goes, yeah, another achronim are also this. Tam leminhag she'ein nogim Shemitah k'mor b'divri maharik, right? And it's others. It's in Tshmud Adeshin, in the Maharil, in the Dakhtik Achraim. And then he adds a great twist at the end. Uvecheshbon shnata shmita, nafla machloket. And not only that, now shmita at best, according to the Machabir, was a drabanan. And now he's telling you, and there's also some confusion, which year is the proper shmita, and therefore you would end up having a shmita, a safik drabanan with safik drabanan lakula. Va'ikur shnat shin kaf, shin kaf zayin hata shmita, v'im ken yesh shnat shin lamedal, rabalenu Torah, Shmita, Yehi Ratzon Shibna Beit HaMikdash V'yachzeru Azlum Not Shmitim V'yovalot Ki Yavo Shiloh. Essentially, he's telling us that only when Mashiach comes will Shemitah then become a Torah law again. And essentially, what you have is a machloket between the Machaber and the Ramah, or a Machaber saying Shemitah b'zman is Ezra Rabbanan and Shemitah Ksafim, where the Ramah says the custom in our land is that we don't write a prusbel. The custom of Ashkenazim is we don't write a prusbel. I hope that was loud enough and clear enough. That's really what the Ramah just now said. Nonetheless, the Machaber is going to tell us a little later on how you go about doing it, and I'm not going into all the details. I told you I want to do the background rather than the actual halacha. Source number 7 is a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein, who writes, what happens if somebody forgot to write a prusbel? B'shochach l'aso prusbel, m'rishay l'kofel l'shalem b'dinanein b'zman hazeh. In the lands that we live, are you allowed to ask the guy to pay back? And what's Rav Moshe's conclusion? Of course you can ask to pay back. Because the custom was never to write a prusbel. Not rare, never. People don't write prusbels. And he goes through the whole sugya and essentially tells us that he quotes the Rashi about being very upset about this. Nonetheless, there are more rules that that these laws don't really apply today. And he quotes the Ravid. Umasik ramavinir shalem samchum in the elushe nogin din shmita klal bismanazah. Sovrekain ladina. Right? So, because that's the, and the whole thing is Midat Chasidut. And he goes back to the Mishnah and says, even according to the Mishnah, the proper thing to do was to pay the money back. The proper thing to do is, yeah, the loan gets canceled. So the proper thing to do is the guy says, my loan is canceled. And what are you then supposed to do? You're supposed to then say, here's your money back. So if you're supposed to say, then here's your money back, that is the proper thing to do. So you should pay your money back. And that's a big part of Rav Moshe's tshuva over here. So do the right thing. What's the right thing? To pay back your loans. So anybody who thinks that not paying their loan, that again, Shemitah, what is Shemitah? Why do I need a prusbel? I need a prusbel because that this, the guy can't possibly give me my money back. And no, the Mishnah says you're supposed to take the money. You're supposed to. You can accept the money back, and the person is supposed to give back the money. You're not allowed to ask for the money, but if today is just a midat chasidut, and you decide you do want to ask for money, the guy can't say, I'm not giving your money back. Why? Because we're supposed to do the things that make the rabbis happy. And what did the Mishnah say? That ruach chachamim is nocha from the person who gives back the money. And that's essentially the tshuva of Moshe here. If you forgot to do a prusbel, you can go ask for your money back. And the proper thing is that the guy should give you back the money. So therefore, before the shir started, somebody told me that someone owed him money. And he says, I'm not paying you back. You don't have a prusbel. So they had to show him the prusbel. According to Rav Moshe, you didn't have to show him a prusbel. According to Rav Moshe, you can say, it's okay. I'd like my money back. And the right thing for you to do is to give back the money, because that is what the halacha is. Now, I told you that all of this is a little bit more complicated. So I'd like to look a little bit at this complication. And then we'll see a couple of more interesting things. The Gemara in Gittin talks about prusbel. Spells it, by the way, slightly differently with the Samach instead of a Zion. Hillel Hitkin Prusbel quotes the Mishnah. The Gemara then says that what the Rambam quoted, Mi ika midi diraita mishamta shviit vihitkin hillel delo mishamta? How could it possibly be? The Torah says that loans are canceled. You're not allowed to ask for the money back. And Hillel can go against the Torah law, Amar baye bishviit bizman hazeh virebihi. Abaye says, no, this is the opinion we already knew from Rebbe. Detanya Rebbe, Oma v'zedva shmita shmot b'shnei shmita l'katov medaber. And now we realize this is what the Rambam was quoting me for. Echad shmita chakar, echad shmita ksafim, that there is this infrastructure and shmitas are linked together. B'zman sheta mashamed karka, ta mashamed ksafim, b'zman she'i mashamed karka, iya ta mashamed ksafim, v'tiknu rabbanu ta mashamed zecher l'shviit. And the rabbis made a law that you should do this, zecher l'shmiit, that people shouldn't forget Shmiit. So Shmiit is Rabbanan. And he sees that people are not giving loans at all. And continue the language of the Mishnah. And breaking the Torah law by not lending money. Amad v'hitkin prusbel. The Gemara now goes a little bit more into, well, exactly how does this work? And there's various opinions. But I want to skip a little bit further on. Toshma, over here at Toshma. The Gemara tells us, the Amar Shmuel, lo kativ in prusba ela ibe beidina desura beidina dinaharda. That Shmuel just now severely limited how a prusbel should be implemented and said only a major court will do it. By the way, this is really the halacha for Sfardim, even though Rav Avadya says it's not necessarily the minhag, is that a real court should be doing it. A court which has a great deal of prestige, a prestigious court should be doing it, and not any court should be doing this. By saying this, Shmuel severely limits what Hillel did. Just go a little bit further. Toshma, now you realize that Shmuel is ideologically driven. To Amar Shmuel, harpruzbala ulbana didayane. He said who? He says that a pruzbal is an insult to dayanim in a certain sense. Rashi will explain that that phrase. Let's see if I have it over here. Look, lashon chutzpah, shenot imam shelo kedin mechazaka. Ulbana didayane, according to Rashi, is what Shmuel was saying is that it's a chutzpah. Because they're taking money which isn't theirs. How are they taking money which isn't theirs? Is that the guy gave a loan, the loan is canceled, so how can you go and take the loan back? Now that's very interesting, and Shmuel needs to be understood. I'm not going to say I'm going to explain it, but Shmuel needs to be understood. Because I worked hard before to claim that on a Torah level, if I lend the money, I can ask for it back. And it's only because of the rabbinic level of Shemitah that I can't ask for it back. And now Rashi is explaining Shmuel is saying is that this whole thing is a chutzpah because the money you shouldn't be asking for back, therefore it's not your money. Now I'm going to again leave this a little bit open as to what the dynamic is over here, but Shmuel doesn't like it. And he goes further, "E ayasher chayel, if I had the power, avatlina avatlina, I would cancel Prizbal if I could." Now, I need, you know, to pause here for a second and to understand something. A little bit later, Hayulbana lishna de chutzpahu, o lishna de nichutahu. Over here, the Gemara questions, you know, what exactly is the language over here which is being used? And Ula goes on to use really unflattering language. Aluva kala shezinta bekerev chupata, that it's comparing it to a kala that slept around infidelity by the chuppah, and that's what it's comparing a pruzbal to. So you realize now, again, without going into all the lines over here, is that there are a number of things. One which I skipped is a call question comes up. Hold it. When Hillel did this, did he do this for all generations, or this was only for that particular generation? This particular thing, this law of pruzbal, is something which is it's terrible. It's terrible because it's taking money in an inappropriate way. Now, the question is it actually inappropriate? Does it look inappropriate? And now you hear Shmuel saying, if I could do it, I would get rid of it. Now, when you hear all of these things, you may now appreciate why. And when people lived in Provence, we'll pick on Provence for a moment, and the custom in Provence is not to do a prusbol, it may not be because they were lazy and so on. It could be because this attitude of Shmuel, that here is a behavior which can bring about cynicism, where people may think, hold on, I mean, the average person, if we'll be honest, doesn't know when they're keeping a halacha, and I'm sorry for saying this, the average person, I'll add a word, the average person doesn't necessarily know if you're dealing with a Torah law, rabbinic law, or even custom. Rabbis need to know this because they need to know Safik derayta to lechumri, Safik derabanan lekula, Safik minhag shtut lekula, right, and so on. That there's that people don't always know. What do they know? They know this is what my mother did, this is what my father did, this is what we do. Does the average person necessarily know in every single thing? But over here, that if Shemitah cancels loans, and you can just now have this work around, it could be that this attitude of Shmuel actually lived on. And therefore, the places that the people are, no, we don't do Prizbal at all. Why? Because Prizbal is something which is negative. Now, it's negative because it's insulting. And I go to the very beginning of where I started today, where you have people even today, that if you have a discussion with them, rabbis can change. I've had this discussion. Rabbis, if they wanted to, now you can fill in the blank. You can change whichever law it is that you wanted a law, you wanted to change. And today there's many, many options of what people would like to see changed. And I've asked, you know, what makes you think that rabbis have this power? And the answer was Prizbal. Look, rabbis can go and change the Torah law. But that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara said that they can't do it. And maybe that gives a little bit more insight into Shmuel. And by the way, Shmuel was a Dayan. When I say he was a Dayan, you could tell me, no, all of these guys were Dayanim. Shmuel was a Dayan. We're told that when it comes to ritual laws, we follow Rav, but when it comes to things having to do with Choshen Mishpat, then we follow Shmuel. This is Shmuel's expertise, and he felt that the institution of the Prusbul should be limited in all kinds of ways, questioning whether Hillel intended it to be in other generations, or maybe it was a specific situation he was dealing with, and maybe Prusbul doesn't even apply today, or to say that it's something which is insulting, and if he felt that he could change it, he would get rid of it. So therefore, this attitude of Shmuel is quite important, because it may explain what the Jewish practice was throughout the Middle Ages, where people didn't do Prusbul. Now, there's another thing that Shmuel says in another place that really will make all of this a little bit more complicated. And that's a Gemara in the beginning of, what I'm skipping is all kinds of interesting things, including source 11, where apparently, and 12, where apparently, according to the Rambam, that if a person doesn't give a loan, they're breaking this law of closing their hands. And that's the way in source 14, if Chaim Kanevsky understands it as well, the way that I explained it. That even though Shemitah is Rabbanon, if you don't give the loan, then you're breaking the Torah law. And that would now, as I said, fit perfectly into the way the Mishnah understood this. And therefore, Hillel wasn't breaking a Torah law. Hillel was supporting a Torah law and was only modifying a rabbinic law. Over here in the Gemara in Makot, source number 15, the Gemara raises questions regarding Shemitah, Matarav Kahana, and we'll skip a little bit over here. It mentions Milva Mashko and Moser Shalabetin, Tetnana, Malva Mashko, Moser Shalabetin, Eim Mishamtin. If you give your, right, that was the Mishnah before, if you give over your loans, Ikudiram of Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Notice, if Yehuda's quoting Shmuel, Hamalvit Chaveir La Eser Shanim, Ein Shviyat Mishamto. That's remarkable. Shmuel, I'm going to say decided. We really have to figure out, is this is Jmanazeh? Shmuel says that if you give a loan for 10 years, then Shemitah doesn't affect it. Well, you just now solved the problem of Shemitah Ksafim. And he's saying any longer loan, because it's not a, meaning what he would seem to be saying is that if it was a short loan, a loan given during the Shemitah year, at the end of Shemitah year, it's canceled. But it's a longer loan, then Shemitah doesn't affect it at all. Also later on in the same source, for Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Omer Lechaver, Manat Shelo Tashtetene Shmiyit, Shvi Mishametet. Lema Kosover Shmuel, Matana, we'll give a little bit later on, Amar Vanan, Lididim for Yunei Dishmuel, Amanat She'en Lecha Alay Ona, we'll skip, Amanat Shelo Tishamteni B'Shviyit, Ein Shviyit Mishamto. Amanat Shelo Tishamteni Shviyit, Shviyit Mishamto. So the first one, Amanat Shalotish Tamteini Bishviyat, Ein Shviyat Mishamto. If I give a loan and say, I'm giving you a loan on condition and not get canceled with Shviyat, that condition, according to Shmuel, works. I hope you appreciate. If I say, on the other hand, I'm giving you a loan because Shemitah doesn't work, that it does work, because I can't make a shvur against the Torah. But if I say something on condition that Shemitah won't affect this loan, that does work. Why? Because a person's allowed to give the money back. I'm using that explanation. So therefore, if you're not saying something against the Torah, you're just saying is that our loan between us will work in such a way that it won't be canceled by Shviyat. According to Shmuel, that works. Now, this is so radical, because therefore, according to Shmuel, you don't need Prusbul. The guy just lending the money has to say, sure, I'll lend you the money, keep the Torah law lending the money, and then say, oh yeah, by the way, our loan shouldn't be canceled by Shviyat. And if you say that, according to Shmuel, that worked. So Shmuel is saying, don't use Prusbul. Essentially, what is he saying? Just use a Tanai. Say it over in a particular way. By the way, a number of the Rishonim and Achronim have a hard time. So what do you need Prusbul for? So one of the Talmidim of the Nod Behuda, the Chuv Miyava, he writes, I have this on the sources later on, he writes that this is for the Ami Haaretz. Prusbul was for the Ami Haaretz. The Talmidei Chachamim knew how to phrase the loan in such a way that it would not get canceled. But the Ami Haaretz didn't know. So for the Ami Haaretz, and to make things easier and to encourage more loans to take place, that's why Prusbul was created. I want to wrap up because I don't want to go on too long, but I do want to, again, say a number of broader things. One is Prusbul means there are going to be people today who will tell you that even if you have no loans whatsoever, it's a mitzvah to do a Prusbul. It's a mitzvah to do a Prusbul. The Ben Ish Chai brings such an opinion. He brings over a story, and I have this in the sources there as well. He brings over a story, if you want, we could take a look, that somebody on Pesach night takes the matzah and the maror, and they puts it all together, and Zeich L'Mikdash Kehillel, and someone else says to him, no, you should also do Zeich L'Mikdash Kehillel, also do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He goes, what are you talking about? We eat matzah Erev Rosh Hashanah. He goes, no, do a prizbol. It's Shemitah this year. Do a prizbol. As if it's saying it's a mitzvah the same way that on Pesach night you follow Hillel, you should also follow Hillel. Okay, so if that's the case, everyone should do it. By the way, I'll tell you something which I kind of left out of all of this. There is a stronger argument for those who live in Eretz Yisrael that they should do a prizbol, or that Shemitah Kesafim does apply. Because it could be, and this is an argument at least, that some of the commentaries use, that could be the places that were more far-flung, they didn't keep it, but places that were close in Eretz Yisrael did. And what can you do? The Minhag in Eretz Yisrael really is today to do a prizbol for whatever reason. The Beit Yishchai also brings down that there are those that after the prizbol is brought, so let me say something about that as well. If someone does a prizbol today and lends money tomorrow, that money is not included in the prizbol. The prizbol only includes loans that were made beforehand. So therefore, the proper time to do the prizbol is on Erev Rosh Hashanah. As late as possible, you would do the prizbol. Okay, you could do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that's good enough. Then you do the prizbol at that point, you have people sign it, and you keep the prizbol. So the Ben Ish Chai also brings that there are those, he calls them mitchastim, which may be a bad word, those who will try to be pious. So I don't know if he's supportive or not supportive. People quote him as if he's being supportive, says that a person should loan money to somebody after they do the prizbol in order to keep the mitzvah and then not ask for the money back. So Rav Asher Weiss gave a shir, and he quoted this, and he says, yeah, but that doesn't work, because you're not giving a loan then, you're giving a present. How do you know you're giving a present? Because you never wanted it back, so that's not a loan, that's a present. He goes, the only time that it works is if you give a loan, if you give a loan and cancel the loan. And he also says in the same line, he goes, it's kind of like the people who think they should buy some piece of Eretz Yisrael just so they can keep Shemitah. He goes, that doesn't work. He goes, if you own land and don't work the land, that's considered to be keeping that. You go out of your way to buy something in order not to work the land. He goes, that doesn't work at all. And I don't want to say all the people who've been advertising and buying and being a part of this, but Rav Asher Weiss really does write this. And he says that this doesn't work at all, and this is a game, and it doesn't mean anything. At the end, he says, no, what can you do? Some Jews are holy, so they want to give a loan and call it a loan, to give a present and whatever. So therefore, if anybody wants to give presents, even though Sonoma Tanos Yechia, you want to give a present, so we can give you some good charities to give presents to. And suggest, you know, some people to help. But don't think that you're really keeping Shemitah's Kesafim. You're doing it really in, you know, it's Zecher. Maybe it's like Zecher L'Mikdash Kehillel. Maybe that's as far as it goes, and it's more, not more than that. But the reason why, as I said, I gave the shir the way that I did is that I want you to understand that when the Rosh even writes, you know, that you can put it in a language in a way that the loan gets canceled. Of course you can. That's what Shmuel said in the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Makos. I don't understand the Rosh, how he can say, I don't understand such a language. You say, I'm giving a loan on condition that it not get canceled. That's a Gemara. So I don't know why the Rosh found that to be, you know, so difficult to identify. And again, I think that the custom of the various places where they were not writing prizbol was not created out of pure ignorance and laziness. It may actually have originated with people who are following the same kind of approach of Shmuel, who feel uncomfortable with the prizbol. They feel uncomfortable with this kind of workaround. There are certain people who don't want to sell, believe it or not, don't want to sell their chametz. They don't want it to be involved in prizbol. They don't like this. They find that there's something distasteful about it, even though they're not sidestepping the Torah law, they're only sidestepping a rabbinic law, and it could therefore be those who were not doing the prizbol were doing it out of an act of piety. It's very interesting, because by the time we got to this machloket of Shemitah Kesafim Bizman Hazeh, she was, no, it's an act of piety to keep Shemitah Kesafim. So it could very well be that not they saw that not doing the prizbol was an act of piety, but of course it would need this other part to it if you want to be pious, and you make your loan in such a way, you're saying, yeah, sure, I'll give you money, but on condition the laws of Shemitah don't apply. But if that's the case, you've sidestepped Shemitah completely, but at least therefore you're not relying on the prizbol. So as I said, the whole history of prizbol is a little more complicated. It has bred in this generation, cynicism in the sense that now people know exactly how the rabbis have the ability of going into the Torah whenever they want to, even though I'll say the vast majority of those who discuss Puzbul, including the simple reading of the Bavli, don't understand it that way at all. They rather say very clearly, no. That's what Abaye says, that that Hillel was following Rebbe, who said Shemitah is not as Rabbanon. And therefore, we added this other element. Yes, Shemitah is Rabbanon, but lending or not lending money is a Torah law. And therefore, what the Prizbol, and by extension, what Hillel was doing with the Prizbol, was keeping the Torah law and not going against the Torah law at all.